Hey, welcome to Will It Game. This is the podcast where we pitch terrible game ideas, and you, the listener, get to vote on these on our Facebook page. We need your feedback, and we also need to continue my win streak. Isn't that right, Rick?
No, that is the opposite of what needs to happen. I'm sick and tired of you stuffing the ballot boxes. I think you got the Russians to help you. I don't like what's happening.
That's exactly. I hired a ton of Russian hackers. Not actually hackers. They're just Russian people.
Just tell Russians to vote for you.
They are definitely helping me. That's it. Russians love Gutowski. I'm Polish. Rick and I are going to pitch these terrible game ideas to you, the listener. And actually, today we have a special guest judge, just like last week. But this week it's a little different. It's Andrew Smith of the Family Gamers. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing well, you guys. How you doing? I was practicing my Russian accent over here, but I don't
know. Oh, no. There's already bias in the judging system.
The only thing I could come up with was dosvidanya, but I'll save that for the end of the show.
That Smith name is so Russian.
Well,
Russian accent I can pull off is, if he dies, he dies. That's pretty much it. That's just pulling some Rocky IV.
Is No Mr. Bond, I Expect You to Die, was that guy Russian?
I don't know.
I'm sharing my lack of knowledge of all things Russia. I apologize.
This is awesome. All the Russians
to our neighbors on the other side of the world.
So we are actually going to pitch a game, Andrew, that is going to be kind of family friendly because you and your wife Anitra are the Family Gamers. Can you give our audience just a little snippet of what you guys do for the podcasting and gaming world?
Yeah, sure. So, as you mentioned, my wife Anitra and I are sort of the two faces behind the Family Gamers. We like to look at games with a family context. We have written reviews on our site, thefamilygamers.com. We have a weekly podcast where we talk about, you know, the games that we've been playing with our kids. Sometimes we have our kids on the show. One of the things that's, I guess, different about it is that one of our grading criteria on games that we review is family fun. And so sometimes there's games that are a lot of fun, but like they're not really great games, but they're really good family games. Like Funky Chicken and Happy Salmon are kind of dumb games, but the family fun is you know, like turned up to 11. So
that's true.
So they grade well for us, for example. So really, that's our goal. So our primary audience is either people who have grown up gaming and now they have kids and they're like, what do I do with these short things that are taking all my money? Yeah. And the other side is parents who have kids who like to game and they're trying to sort of figure out how to incorporate that into their family lifestyle. So, yeah, so that's what we do. We've been posting a lot of Facebook Live videos of us playing goofy games lately, which has been fun. And so we'll be doing a lot more of that as well. You can find us at thefamilygamers.com or facebook.com/familygamersaa.
That's awesome. Thanks, Andrew. And we are actually going to be pitching two games that are going to have a little bit of a family spin on them. So, Rick, you go first. I want to lend the floor to you, good sir.
Oh, thank you. So my game is called Eat It, Baby. Okay, so now, do either of you remember the game from the 90s, Eat at Ralph's?
I remember seeing that game. Like, I never owned it or knew anybody who did own it, but I remember
seeing
it.
I'm going to use the Google to remind you.
Yeah, so Eat at Ralph's was a game where you took plastic food pieces that were, like, essentially flat, and you would put them into this slot that has this guy's face on it, and then every now and then he would vomit, which is he'd spit all this stuff back out. This is going to be kind of a 2018 version of that, so it's going to... The mechanism is going to be a little bit more fancy. So you've got cards that have different foods on them, and you're going to be feeding them to the baby. And every now and then, the baby's going to throw up. And what you've got to think about is, what kind of food cards was I playing that made the baby throw up? So on a turn, you might feed the baby. You might discard some cards from your hand that you think the baby won't like. But basically, you're trying to do some pattern recognition so that you can get the baby to eat the cards and get you more points. And so you try to avoid getting spit up on by the baby.
So instead of random vomiting, it's more of like a QR code that is read as it goes into the mouth type of thing?
Yes, and the scoring system will probably be built into that as well, and you'll have the ability to kind of keep track of your points as it goes in. So you know, I don't have babies, but I'm assuming that there's a complete normal pattern to how they vomit, right? That's my assumption. Yeah, yeah. Like, they spew for random reasons. So that is, I'm trying to replicate real life as much as possible.
So this sounds to me like it's basically reusing the drop mix technology, which lays...
Yes, that's totally what it is.
NFC over it.
You're
feeding in a couple of like face down cards that inform the computer inside what to puke at.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And I would like to point out that in the 4 episodes that we have done of this show, I have done a vomit game, I've done a farting game, and I have done a pimple game. You're welcome, world.
You are through your repertoire of game.
I think my brain's a little stuck in one lane right now.
Know what? The pimple game has been popular lately. So you know, whatever. I mean, I guess it works out.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know if mine can compete against a vomiting baby on your tabletop, but I'm going to try. This one is called Don't Miss the Bus. The game plays 3 to 7 players, and actually at the higher player counts, it's actually going to be a lot of fun because it's a worker placement game. Everybody at the table is a member of the same family, and there's a board in front of you, similar to, maybe we even use a similar layout to the family reunion game from episode 2. So you've got this board. Oh no, it's going to be a double-sided board. There's going to be like an apartment on one side and then a small house on the other. So you can play it at different player counts based on your player count. You can play on different sides of the board. Boom. Just made that one up.
Boom.
So, worker placement game where players are choosing how they spend their time as they get ready for the morning. There's going to be a bidding mechanic about what time you wake up, and then you're going to get to change. That basically chooses who's the first player. You're going to get to allocate your time on brushing your teeth or getting in the shower or eating breakfast or packing your book bag. There's going to be a lot of different things that you can do that you normally do in the morning. You get dressed and things like that. So here's the thing. If somebody's taking up that space, you can't just boot them out. So you're going to have to figure out what other activities you have to do to get ready. There's going to be at the end of your turn, you're actually going to draw a card from a deck. And most of the cards, the majority of the cards are going to be blank. But there's going to be some cards like... you're going to have an issue where the hairdryer breaks, or you can't find any unclean socks. Things that happen every single morning.
Hanging out of my house?
I know. It's like, why are you reading my mind? So I'm in your head, Andrew. And then points Russians. Are awarded based on how complete you are as you get onto the bus. So that deck of cards, as you flip them over at the end of your turn, you flip over one card. When the fourth bus card flips out, that's when everybody has to be ready. So it's the end of the round is kind of variable, similar to something like Pandemic or something where you're flipping a card and you're like, it's not a bus, not a bus, not a bus. Oh, yes. You know, that sort of thing where you never know when the end of the round is going to show up, but it's coming. You know,
sure.
And so you also have an advance mode that gives each, if you want to play with the advance cards, everybody gets a secret mission in the morning, and you get to, if you complete that mission, you get bonus points. Maybe hide your sister's book bag, or maybe dunk, this is a favorite of mine, wet somebody else's toothbrush and say that it fell into the toilet. They get so grossed out that they have to find another toothbrush. They lose 2 turns.
Gross.
So that's literally happened in my house multiple times.
Gross.
So
you should stop doing that to your children.
That's exactly how you know it happens.
Could you have like an expansion called 2-hour delay?
Ooh, that would be good. This is ripe for expansions because I feel like you could do a lot of extra things, like an extra deck of cards or retheming. Yeah.
See, here's my issue with the overall thing is I think a lot of families are going to have PTSD playing this game. They're going to be like, we just tried to get ready this morning and it was miserable. Why in the world would we play a game where we have to do the exact same thing again?
Well, it's the same reason why I play The Pursuit of Happiness. I mean, it's kind of stressful having hobbies and all these things to do, and then you die.
Like, why would I remind myself that I have to die?
Yeah, why would I remind myself? But it's really fun, and it's a worker placement game.
So I have a critical question about this, and this is actually for both of you.
I have no answers.
Well, you know, it might answer this question, actually. So I'll start with Rick. What's the target demographic for your game, for Eat It Baby?
Eat It Baby is going to be something that... What kid doesn't love vomit, personally? I think there are
none.
That's
true.
And so kids will enjoy this game. And given that there is some actual strategy to it, I think we can get some adults involved in the game a little bit.
Yeah, I could see an 8 to 10-year-old playing this.
Most certainly.
So this is, it's a kid's game with light strategy for adults.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Don't Miss the Bus plus. Is a family game. I would say ages 8+, and mostly positioned in a way where you're playing adults and kids at the table. This way, the adults kind of see the tension of being a kid getting ready in the morning, and then the kids are like, "See, I'm late for the bus. This is like real life, Mom." You know.
So I mean, because here's the reason why I asked this question. I feel like, you know, Rick, you're right to note that PTSD would be a real problem with this trying to get the kids out the door in the morning thing.
Yes.
But if the target demographic for this game, like if you sold this game at homeschooler conferences, like it would be a way for homeschoolers to point and laugh at people that have to go to public school.
That is so true.
I thought you were going to say, like, if you sold this at homeschooler conferences, everybody would go, "What is a bus?" Like, we don't know what those are.
And the other option here, and I think it looks to me like the strategy is a little bit deeper on Don't Miss the Bus, which is not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily a good or a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I do see the opportunity here for like asymmetric gameplay with adults have different tasks than kids, and adults can win doing completely different things than children.
It would be interesting to assign roles basically at the beginning of the game, where you assign a role. Are you a parent or are you a kid?
That is,
you
know, really cool.
As you begin the game. So, because that would actually, it's like, why do I have to get a briefcase? I'm only 8, you know, but you have to fill that role.
Well, especially if part of the adult's goals involve getting the kids to complete their morning activities.
That's true.
Right.
Man, what if you had a toddler card? Somebody at the table is completely helpless and dependent on the person sitting to their left.
So,
oh, that's a baby. Toddlers actually take away completed tasks.
That's true. So the toddler ruins any progress that's been made.
The winning condition for an infant is complete apathy. Like, you don't play the game, you win.
Yes.
Actually, the winning condition for the baby is that they have won a game of Eat It Baby.
There you go. They're playing that on the side. Oh, my gosh.
You tie them together. So good. So good. So, Andrew, it is deliberation time. Andrew, we need you to decide which one of these games is a game that you would bring around your family. What game would you put at your table or proudly display on your game shelf? Once you decide, we're going to put up a poll on Facebook.com, and people in the community are actually going to be able to vote on their favorite. Right now, the first two episodes results are in, and I'm beating Rick pretty handily.
And let's not put too much pressure on this. Let's not say which one would you show off. Let's say which one sucks less. Like, that, I think, is the extent of which we need to give this.
That's true. Let's recategorize this. Which one is the least sucky idea?
I mean, like, there's something about this Eat It Baby which is just like, it's got this visceral crowd-pleasing element to it, right? You know, and I do think that it probably would have superior shelf presence, in the sense that if it's on the shelf, more people would be like, okay, what is this game? Like, Eat It Baby? Like,
puking babies.
Yeah, well, it would be like, is this like a Weird Al reference? Is it what's going on here, right? So I do think it would have better shelf presence, but I think Don't Miss the Bus might actually have, you know, the ability to be made. Although I suppose, you know, with the pimple popping thing, who knows anymore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And given that DropMix is $30 these days, it's not like the technology is something that's unachievable to get. See, Eat It Baby has to be sold at Target, right?
Yes,
I mean, that's kind of, there's really no option there. And Don't Miss the Bus could be sold at Target. I think if the goal here is to make money, I think I've got to go with Eat It Baby.
Ah!
Okay.
Because, because I mean, I could see people buying this as like a a white elephant Yankee Swap gift.
Yeah.
Like for new parents to be like, sucker.
It's right next to that pie in the face game and like those games that are about poop. Right there on the Target shelf.
Yeah. Right?
I'm going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, so that's for the inappropriate people, you know, you buy them Cards Against Humanity, and for the new parents, you buy them Eat It Baby. It's like like the natural evolution in adulthood.
It would sell.
So I really like Don't Miss the Bus for a lot of reasons, and I feel like in the in board game culture, I think Don't Miss the Bus is kind of the classic winner here. But I think I'm going to throw this one to Eat It Baby.
Excellent.
For the income purposes, primarily.
Nice. Got to make that money, Andrew.
Yeah.
All about the Washingtons.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, if you agree or disagree with Andrew's decision, be sure to go to facebook.com/oneboardfamily and pin to the top of our page. You're going to see a poll that says, would you vote for Eat It Baby or Don't Miss the Bus? Be sure to vote. We need all the votes we can get. We want you to tell us what you think and even refine our game ideas. Post in the comments below and tell us what you like or didn't like, or tell us how it could be better. And hopefully a game designer will come in and be like, that's not the worst game idea ever. Pick it up and never pay us. It'll be awesome.
I like it.
All right. Cool. Thanks so much for joining us on Will It Game. Andrew, thanks so much for guest judging. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
Punchboard Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.